That's really yish. But it's a good yish. It's a yish, okay. So now I have 1 foot. Okay. 1.5 foot. I really, 1 foot would be better. Chassid Shalom, I don't really mean that. But, at least, I don't know, does it hurt if you have only 1 foot? It doesn't hurt. Oh, it hurts? Oh boy. What do you, I know it itches sometimes, and like you don't have where to scratch. So then I won't even gain anything. Okay. So we're learning Chayvus Avodos now. What? No, the wound is getting better. Baruch Hashem. The problem is that the pain is unrelenting, and I can't. No, it's okay. I like that. That's life. And I won't take the heavy painkillers, which make you literally shicker. It's narcotic and it's very heavy. So I take a lesser painkiller, which doesn't work. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Someone's bringing me back from America a stronger over-the-counter Advil type medicine, but it's very strong, but it's still over the counter. So they hold it safe for someone to just take it. So we'll see how that works. Now let's learn. Let's learn Chavis Halvavas, ladies here, Wednesday afternoon. Chavis Halvavas, Shar Yichud Hamaisa. We're in the enticements of the Eight Sahara. And the Chavis Halvavas is dealing with a very interesting dilemma. He is talking about, in the second half of Perikei, he's talking about not theological, ideological Yetzirah enticements, but practical, down to earth, how one lives one's life. And we're up to number, in the middle, at the end of number 4, where the Yetzirah says, you don't want to be a Malgaiva, Chas V'Shalom, and you don't want people to give you Kavod, Chas V'Shalom, because we went through, I do want Kavod, and I do want people to hold of me. That was numbers 1, 2, and 3, to do good things for the wrong reasons, and ending up messing yourself up. But number 4 was, Adarabba, don't go to shul, and don't daven with a minion, to a man, don't daven with Kavon if people are looking at you. Show, be friends with people that you normally would shy away from, because you don't want people to think that you're a special person and you don't waste time. So Adarabba, joke around with them, go to the pool hall, and you don't want any cover, you don't want anybody thinking highly of you at all. So we learned this already, and the Chavis Halvavas says that's absurd, and tell the Yetzer Hara, why should I jump from the frying pan into the fire? Why should I run away from a more subtle avera, a more subtle, a more subtle lack, a lack of shleimus, that I don't want to do things for the sake of kavod? But what you're telling me to do is to do things wrong, to daven a shmona esrei, very very quickly, so that people shouldn't think you have kavana. So rule 1, says the Chavis Halvavas, is that if you're never ever do something beneath the red line of what you're obligated to do because of this enticement. That's level 1 answer to the Yetzer Hara. To go below the red line of halacha, or even not halacha, to daven with kavana, so let's say halacha demands that you have kavana in the first bracha. But certainly halacha really requires that you should have kavana in the whole Shemoneh Esrei. It's just not essential. Your yotzei, as long as you have kavan in the first bracha, so your yotzei. But that's certainly called a halachically mandated obligation, and it's absurd to talk about things like, oh, people will hold of me, and people will stand up for me, and don't do less than you're obligated to do because of this ridiculous taina. And it's not as ridiculous as we think, obviously. Chavis Halvavas is very, 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 obviously, in this parak, you see how he knows the koiches hanefesh, he knows what people produce, all sorts of excuses and explanations, because everybody looks in the mirror and says, I'm a good person. Everybody looks in the mirror and says, I'm good, I'm okay. I do this, yeah, because of this and because of that, and we all have our rationales and our amaslaos, it's called in Hebrew, our excuses, the way we excuse our behavior, and everybody thinks of himself or herself as basically a good person. So we're up to that. So he says, Achma sheroi lahastiro. And the Chavis HaLovah says, now you might say, wait a second. The Chavis HaLovah throughout the whole Sefer says to do things privately, and Taka not to do things publicly. And the most pure action a person can do is one that's anonymous and private and no one knows about. And that you give tzedakah privately. Don't let people know about it. And so on and so forth. So now he's going to explain, like, the rules. When do I say this and when do I say that? And this is very, very important for life, because Taka, like, it's a good question. Chavis HaLovah wants us to do things anonymously, but here he's turning around and saying, Chas v'Shalom, don't. So the first rule should be rather, is really easy. Don't do anything less than your obligation, you know, because it's public. You know, don't say, I will only be good in private. There's no excuse for that. You have to bench properly and daven properly and act properly and not talk lashon hara and not talk late sonos and not make fun of people and have respect for people. That's just by nature public. And what you can't act improperly publicly because of this cheshbon. So he says, Achma sheroi lahastiro mimaasai, what I should hide of my actions. If I can do it perfectly and properly, if there's no flaw in doing it privately, but things that by nature have to be done publicly, and if I don't do it publicly, then people will see that people will learn from my example and not do what they're supposed to do because they don't see me doing it. A person will say, I'll never daven with a minyan. A man will say, I'll never daven with a minyan. I'll only daven at home because I don't want people to see that I have kavana. But then you're not davening with a minyan. That's wrong. It's not just technical obligations. He goes, and to teach people what's right, to give them musr. You can't say, well, I'm not giving musr because then people will think that I'm okay and I'll look like a balgaiva, right? If you have what to contribute to the world, if you have what to teach someone, if you have an insight in the Yiddishkeit and Avodas Hashem, Letzavos Betov, to teach people about what's right, so you have to do it. You can't shuck that responsibility because you're going to look like a balgaiva. And remember, I remind you of the Chavis HaLovah and the Hakdama, that after he shared with us his angst about writing the Sefer, and he finally picked up his pen, his quill, to write it, he was hit with this Yetzer Hara, who said to him, who do you think you are? What are you? You're better than other people. No one wrote this Sefer until you. Who says you're worthy of writing such a Sefer? And he put down his quill, and he said, you know, you're right. And then he caught himself, and he says, that's not a correct attitude. That's wrong. That's the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara wants to stop people from accomplishing things, so they falsely dress it up as gaiva. They falsely dress it up as, who do you think you are, and why should you act like a balgaiva? And, you know, if you have, you have to do, Hashem gave kolchos to people. Some people are charismatic, some people speak well, some people explain things well, some people are inspiring. You have to use those kolchos. You can't run away. It's like Yonah. It's like Yonah running away from Hashem. You know, so we think, oh, Yonah ran away from Hashem. That's what we do if we say that I won't use the kolchos that Hashem gave me, and I want to be a more private person. I don't want to be in the public limelight, and why should people think highly of me? And you can't do that. That's running away from Hashem. That's Yonah. That's what Yonah did. So he says there are things that by nature are public, and he says things that, again, that are not like so obvious. Tzavos betov means to teach people what's right. Ulahazir minara, and to teach them what's wrong. Belimud hachachmos, to teach people Torah, to teach them any knowledge that they should have. Va'asos chesed, to help people. You know, you say, again, the Yetzer Hara is saying, oh, you don't want people to think of you as a friendly, helpful gomel chasodim. You have to be obnoxious in public, and you'll do everything privately. You'll help people, but that's wrong, and then people will get the wrong idea, and you will pass up many opportunities for chesed if you take that attitude. Ein min hazrizus, it is wrong, lahniach also, ula ozvo, and to leave it off, bavur ila tachonef, because you're afraid of this chanufa, well, not technically chanufa, the classic meaning of the word, but it means without the excuse of, you know, having gaiva and having people hold of you, that's wrong. Now, what do you do by an appeal in shul? Well, let me just finish. What do you do by an appeal in shul? So the answer is, the Chavis Lovers doesn't discuss it, but the answer is, I think, according to the Chavis Lovers, the answer is, and they call out, which is many shuls do. So the answer is, you should call out, you know, a normal amount. You don't call out, $1,000. Call out what everybody's calling out, like what you think would be called average, and then privately give more. That's how you would juggle the Chavis Halvodas' like ideal Avodas Hashem, to say the average amount in public, because you don't want people to have, you know, to learn from you that this is not an important stucker, or he's not giving, so I'm not going to give, or he's a stingy person, he's not a, you know, all these stories you read about, whether it's from Hasidisha stories, or it's from the Vardik, from the Musar Yeshiva called the Vardik, maybe has a place in unusual extenuating circumstances where a person is seeking, I could say they're wrong, or I could say the Chavis Halvodas argues that you should never do that. You know, these stories about this bum in the street that everybody thinks is a terrible, horrible person, and really he's from the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, you know. I can say the Chavis Halvodas does not hold of that, but, you know, there's always extenuating circumstances. A person feels he needs a kapara for something terrible in his life, so he accepts on himself or herself the bizyonos of what, you know, of such a hanhoga, of such a lifestyle, for a limited amount of time, and because, you know, you want that kapara. Or it could be that the Chavis Halvodas would say, no, that's taka wrong. It's not a way to live. It's a wrong thing to do. Certainly in Chazal, you know, you don't find such a thing, and the Chavis Halvodas is saying, so that's wrong. So I would think by an appeal, let's say, which is a tough call, but I would say that's what the Chavis Halvodas would want you to do. He would want you to be normal and to call out, and then give more privately, and nobody knows about that. Wait, yeah.
Oh, no, I was
going to
ask, you know, you hear the stories about these Baal Chesed, people come ask for money, they don't give them anything, everyone thinks they're stingy, then after they pass away, they find out that they've been putting money under the door.
Again,
the Chavis wouldn't agree with that.
Either he wouldn't agree, or, I just said it, either he wouldn't agree, or he would say that maybe, again, there's always extenuating circumstances, the person maybe wants bizyonos because of a kapara, and it's an unusual case. Every rule has exceptions, so maybe those are exceptional circumstances, or maybe those stories never happened, or maybe the stories never happened. Yeah, someone else.
There's always someone who wins the appeal, who wins the highest.
Nobody's perfect, and everybody. If you ask me what the Chavis Halvodas would recommend, is give an average amount and give high publicly. If a person says to himself, you know, even according to the Chavis Halvodas, let me tell you. That's what the Chavis Halvodas would recommend, I think, this is my opinion, as Shleimus. People are motivated by kavod. You go to buildings, they have people's names on the buildings. I mean, the people, and, you know, so, and Klal Yisrael needs the money, right? The mitzvahs need that motivation. So, you know, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, and there's one sefer out of 10 million don't have the author's name in it. And very few people get stuck anonymously, and it works. So if it works, better than not giving stuck at all. Or maybe a person could, and we're going to learn about this in a moment, a person could sincerely say, if I give an unusually high amount, then the people will copy me, and it'll end up raising more money for tzedakah. And again, it's a chovas halvavas. Hashem knows if the motivation is kavod and honor, or if the motivation is sincere. So maybe the example I picked is not a perfect example, because of this aspect of it, that maybe other people will give more than average if they see you're doing it. And maybe it's always like that. Maybe a person can always have a cheshbon. If I do this publicly, people will learn from me. So ultimately, we're dealing with cholos halavavos. You know, right now he's giving as best as he can these objective rules how to deal with this Yetzirah, as we're learning it. Yeah? Oh. Okay, so he says, Ach ani chayev la'asosu l'shem shemayim. Obviously, so you do your obligation, and you do it publicly, and you can't fall and do something that's incorrect and inappropriate, or even wrong, because of this Yetzirah telling you, oh, you don't want people to know that you're really a good person. Your attitude should be, and this is hard, it's hard to juggle bitachon and hishtadlus. According to the Chayvus Halvavus, is hard because he wants the Baal Bitachon to go have a normal life and to work and to be industrious and to keep up with the latest whatever it is that'll, you know, you can't be fashlept. You have to keep up. If you have a store, you have to keep up with the latest gadgets or styles or whatever it is. Or if you're an umen, you have to keep up with the latest umnus, you have to keep up with the latest advances. You live mamash a normal life, to the degree that he devotes a whole parak in Shara Bitachon to what is the difference between a Baal Bitachon and not a Baal Bitachon. Like, what are outward signs of it? Which we said when we learned it, this would be a way of checking yourself, you know, am I a Baal Bitachon? Because I go to work every day and I earn money and I, you know. So he has like those seven, or I think things, whatever the number is, which is a checkpoint. Do I get angry when things don't, do I get depressed when things don't go the way I would like them to go? Right, that's checkpoint number one. Am I always cheerful and in a good mood and then thankful to Hashem? You know, so he has these checkpoints, but it's hard. My point is, it's hard. So it's hard to strike this balance. Nobody ever said it was easy. And yet we have a whole lifetime to work. No one's going to walk out of this year and, be perfect, right? Even if you happen to be listening, you have to work on it. Shemayim, I have to do it for the right reasons. V'im yishabchuni b'nei adam olav, and if I get honored because of what I'm doing, o yichabduni ba'avuro lo yazik b'schari ma'uma, it will not ruin my schar. It won't be called I got schar in olam hazeh. If I'm not, and this is a very big yisod, he says, if you're not doing it for the purpose of honor, if it's just a byproduct, and, you know, but that's not your purpose and your goal and your motivation, then it won't detract from your schar. Meaning it's not, you know, you accept it as a byproduct. You know, what are you supposed to do? You know, people stand up for me when I walk into a room. I think it's the biggest joke in the world. But what can you do? You know, if once I decided I'm going to be a Rav, so, you know, that's going to happen. They're going to stand up when I enter a room, if they know it's good for them. But, you know, so you just swallow hard, and you know, and the Chag Tavodos teaches us what to think about. If they only knew what I did this morning, they wouldn't be standing up for me. And, you know, so those little tricks that the Chag Tavodos teaches us. But, you know, you can't run away from being a Rav because, if you think you could do a good job, because then they're going to honor me and I don't want any honor. So that's what the Chavis was doing. That's very bad Yetzahara. If the Kavod was not your motivation, so then don't worry about it. Don't obsess. You know, don't go nuts with this Nakuda. Just, okay, it's a byproduct, it happens. As long as it's not, you know, it's not your motivation, you're okay. Ukvar Nemar. Oh, and now he gives us like a litmus test. How? Okay, so I'm doing this, and I'm doing it publicly because by nature it's a public thing, but I'm doing it l'shem shemayim. You know, I can't dip below the red line of my obligation. Even if it's a subtle obligation, not subtle, even if it's, you know, not an obligation like making a bracha, but it's teaching Torah, inspiring people. You have to do that, the Chavis Halvava says. You can't shy away from a limelight, but you have to do this, because he says, ulatzavos betov, ulahazir min ora. That's also called an obligation. So what's my litmus test? Like, maybe I'm falling into a pit where I'm doing it l'shem kavod, and I'm enjoying the kavod, and I believe my press clippings, and I have a scrapbook at home where I keep all the headlines. Like, so how do you know? So he gives us a way. He says, you know, I'm going to give you now a test. Kshetase maise, when you do something, anything. Sheyodim bo b'nei adam. Because really, he talks the whole sefer, he wants you to do things privately. But now he's saying there are some things that you're going to have to do publicly, because by their nature, they are public things. So when you do something like that, or even I'm adding to this, when you do more than your obligation, because you have a cheshbon, like I said, you're giving a higher amount to tzedakah because you think other people will follow and they'll also give the higher amount. Or if people see that you're a superwoman and you can do so much chesed, even though you have such a busy life, and it's people know about it, they might also follow your example, and then it's good. But it's danger. You're on dangerous territory. So he says, when you do something that people know about, the tirtze la'amod al birur kavanoscha, and you want to take a test, a self-test, you can take this test at home. You want to know, okay, what's my deep motivation? B'chon nafshecha bo b'shnei ponim. I'll tell you two questions. Now, obviously this is a difficult thing to do because you're doing it to yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be introspective, as I always say. If you can't be introspective, then get a different sefer to learn. But he says, ask yourself these two questions and be honest with yourself, which means ask it to yourself at 3 a.m, you know, when you have time to think and it's quiet, and or maybe go to the beach when there's no one around and watch the waves. That's also very, I mean, I find that very, and it's just you and Hashem there. And ask yourself these two questions. Echad Mehem, number one, ask yourself, and, you know, you got to go deep. What's my motivation? So you say, you know, that's my problem. I don't know my motivation. So he says, no. You have to dig it out. What is, and if Chazal says to do it, it means you can't do it. What's stirring me? What's motivating me? What's pushing me? Is it that it's the right thing to do, and Hashem wants me to do it, and it's a mitzvah, and I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem? Or is it because people will say, wow, look at that guy, look at that gal, look what they're doing. Sheteida, you have to, as I'm saying, as much as possible, ma'atom makaveh b'maisehu, you know, what do you want the fallout to be? Maybe I said it wrong. Maybe it's not to figure out the motivation. No, you see, that would be hard. That's what we want to know. He's giving us an eitzah. The eitzah is, what do I want to happen as a consequence, as a result of what I do? When I think of the aftermath of my actions, am I thinking of a crowd that's wildly applauding and people are giving me yasher koyach and saying, wow, I don't know how you do it, whoa, like, unbelievable? Or am I thinking of Hashem? Think of what I'm looking forward to. You see, I said the wrong pshat. That's the pshat. In other words, how do I know my motivation? Think of what I'm looking forward to as a result of what I do. And that's much easier to do than to figure out your motivation, because the whole problem is I don't know my motivation. I'm trying to figure it out. So the first litmus test of motivation is to let your mind loose, like unleash your mind from its moorings, so to speak, and think, okay, like I'm going to do this, and your mind will... You'll see where you're holding. Your mind will either conjure up people giving you thank you and praising you and saying wow, or your mind will think of Hashem, and then you'll know what your motivation is when you think of what you want the result to be. Echad mehem shateda ma'atomakave b'maisahu. What are you anticipating happening as a result of what you're doing? Min hagemul umimi ato makave also, and from whom are you expecting yasher koyach? Imenu Elokim. If you're expecting a yasher koyach from Hashem, hu shalem. That's good. That's perfect. Even though there's a tremendous I mean, here he says it's perfect. In the next paragraph, he's going to delve into the inyan of I want my olam haba. I want my schar. But, you know, halavai, we get through life wanting olam haba. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm talking to Bali Madrega, who come to Paris Halvodos here every week. Imminu Elokim, if you want your yashikoyach, you let your mind, like, let your imagination loose. And if you imagine Hashem saying yashikoyach, hu shalem, that's good. That explains your motivation. The imizul also, but if you imagine you're walking into the kiddush or you're going to in the supermarket, people are coming over to you and saying, wow, then you have the wrong motivation. Again, we always have mitok shalol lishmo bo lishmo, and this is not going to happen in a day, and this is an avoda, and it's a hard avoda, and halavai we do the right things for the wrong reasons, which is better than the wrong things for the right reasons, which is this Yetzirah we're talking about. But still, Chavir Babas tells us what to shoot for, what to aim for, what is shleimus. Vimizul also, if your mind conjures up Yashikoyach from people, Einu Shalim, not so good. Not perfect, not flawless. Einu Shalim. That's number one. You want to figure out your motivation, figure out what your mind what result your daydreaming leads you to. You know, everybody daydreams, right? So where does that lead you? But Hasheni, the second litmus test, is ask yourself, how do I bench when no one's around? How do I daven when no one's around? If this davening and benching or giving tzedakah, if it's not a public appeal and it's just a letter in the mail or a phone call, if you give the same amount, if you bench the same, if you can tell yourself, I bench the same way when no one's around. Oh, by the way, don't feel bad. No one benches. It's hard. It's really hard. And we have all kinds of rationales. We say, well, really, I'm having the same kavana, but it doesn't look good. So people are around. I don't want to, you know, be mavayish myself. So I have to, like, screw up my eyes a little, my nose, and I have to go like that. But really, I have the same kavana when I go. But the Chazal Bavos is not fooled by that. He says, the second litmus test is, can you honestly say that you would do it the exact same way if no one knows about it? If you can, then you're okay, even if people know about it. See, this is litmus test number two. What do you do in a situation where you're forced to have people know about it? Either because not doing it when people know about it will put you beneath the red line, frying pan into the fire, or because you have a cheshbon of doing it publicly because people will be inspired by you, will learn from you, and will copy you. Two tests. One is, when you daydream, what do you anticipate the result of your actions will be? Are you imagining wild applause, or are you imagining Hashem saying, good job? Second litmus test, can you honestly say that if no one would be around, you would do it the exact same way? If you can answer those two questions rightfully, then says the Chovos HaLevavos, don't worry that you're doing it publicly. You're okay. The Hasheni Shateda Benafshecha, you have to know yourself, again, you need introspection. Shem Hayisam Misyached, if you would be doing this and no one would know about it, Hayisa Osa Maisahu Alo Inyanahu. Would you bench the same way? Would you daven the same way? Would you give the same amount of tzedakah? Would you be just as careful in Lashon Hara if no one's, I'm going off on a tangent now. It's really embarrassing, but I think it's an important nakuda. So in one of these magazines, these ladies' magazines that I always read, so this fiction writer wrote that she holds it's good to write fiction because people have an urge to speak Lashon Hara. And this way you'll speak about this fictional character. So it's not Lashon Hara. You'll speak about this one and that one. She's acting terribly and this acting. And that's what she writes. And I was motivated. I didn't do it, of course, because I'm embarrassed. No, I could have signed my wife's name. I said, that's terrible. That's not correct. Right. It's not correct because Lashon Hara is a midah. Right. It's looking at the beard in people, seeing the beard, not being down the cuffs, chus. So technically it's not Lashon Hara if you talk about a fictional character. That's true. But it's you're turning to a dark side of your soul. That's it's not good. The Issur Lashon Hara means to look at people with a good eye, be dan lekafshus. You know, it's a wrong cheshbon. Okay, in case anybody saw that, I wanted to tell you. No, it's a worthy discussion. I had a discussion over the Shabbos table with my family. It's a very important nakuda. Lashon Hara is not just a technical isser; it's a midah. It's a midah that reflects your ben adam lachavero. You know, just because you can do it in a way that's technically mutter, it's still not a good midah. The mizbar lachazeh, there are certain averos. I don't want to talk about it publicly. You have to be careful of that. Sometimes things are accepted if technically there's no avera being done. But we, who learn Chavis Halvavis, know how false that is. It's sheker, it's wrong. And Adarava, the technical mitzvahs and the technical averos are just a stepping stone for Chavis Halvavos. For where you're holding in this world and what motivates you and what's important to you and how ruchni you are and how gashmi you are and what's correct and what's incorrect. You know, take it from me, I'm a rabbi. I could find you a heter for just about anything. Almost. Depends if you're if you paid all your dues up on time. It's Torah is so much more than the technicalities, and you have to be careful of that, because a lot of times you see like certain behaviors and the way they creep into our from society insidiously is you work out and well, it's not really osur. It doesn't matter. You know, like Lashon Hara. You know, it's not osur if you talk about a fictional character, but it's really it's terrible because you're compounding. You're teaching yourself to have the bad midah. Lashon Hara is not Torah's values. Was written with that idea, with the idea of connecting everything to Hashem. A and B. That the Torah is values and the mitzvahs are a stepping stone. Right? We learned that in Shara Avodas Elokim. And we have to keep reminding everyone, of course, you can't skip the stepping stone, and it's terrible if you do any, it's an Aveira and you can't do that. But having said that, it's just a stepping stone, and it's a value, and you can't just, because I said Lashon Hara, so I was reminded of that. So think, if you can honestly say, that you would do it the same amount of tzedakah, same length of time davening, same length of time benching, same bracha with kavana, no one around, same tznius when no one's around, following what the halacha allows and what the halacha doesn't allow. Or if not the halacha, but even the values have differences if there's people around or not. It's not always exactly the same. The Mizbar L'Chazeh, that you would do it the exact same way if you're private, Ma'ischa Shalem Le'lokim Harbi Mimenu. And then you're okay. You could feel comfortable doing it when people know about it. V'miya Pachos Mizeh, but if you're honest with yourself and you go, well, I guess I wouldn't. Then be much more circumspect, much more limited in what you do publicly. Again, never fall beneath the red line. The Chavis Halavos does not mean then it's okay to do something improperly if you're in public, if you are not pure of heart. That he wouldn't say, but he meant like the other kind, I would imagine, like giving more tzedakah than you have to because you want people to be inspired by you, or like you don't have to do everything publicly. So he says, if you find that your answer to these two litmus tests are not what they should be, then hanicheu, look what he says, leave go, don't push it, ach yizdakech lipcho l'shamayim, work on yourself to be more pure of heart, to do things for the right reasons, and yeah, leave it alone. Don't push it. Don't do things publicly if you find that it's feeding into a Yetzirah. So again, never go beneath a line, because you're not allowed to do an Aveira. But if it's, you know, a gray area where it's not so clear, so then don't tack a weight and do things privately and err on that side of caution until you're able to be mezakech yolev. Let me just learn three more words, because then we're up to the next enticement. If you do all of this, what we just said, oz yinogef hayetzer, then this yetzahara of telling you, oh, go to the pool hall, joke around, be friends with people that may be a bad influence on you because you don't want people to think badly of, to think of you as a holier than thou. If the Yetzirah is taking this from the frying pan into the fire, be careful. He's trying to, and he says such a startling word. If you go back over in Chazah, the words he says, he says, and the next thing you know, you don't have emunah anymore. Next thing you know, you lost Hashem. So be very careful about this too. And then he's obviously addressing, without asking the question, but I'm saying in my whole sefer, to do things privately. And he gives us the rules, and he gives us the litmus test, how we know. And that's this. Now we're up to number five. Yeah, yeah.
So, for a woman, you don't have to daven with a minion. But let's say, if you go to shul on Shabbos, you know you're going to daven better than if you davened at home. You just know, because the peer pressure and the whole shul, and maybe because people are watching you, you're not going to say it so quickly, but you know you're going to have better davening at shul. So, shouldn't you be in the public to...
It's a tough call. So, what you're saying is, according to the three lines we just learned, we would expect the answer to be, no, daven at home. On the other hand, and the Chavos Lubavitch doesn't address this point, there is mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. And how will I ever pick myself up? I mean, that's la'olam, right? La'olam means, you know, sometimes, how do I raise my level of anything? You know, I'm performing at a certain level. How do I pick myself up? It's me, so I'm holding here. How do I go beyond what I'm doing now? Like, how do I make that extra push? So Chazal say, start with Shalom Lishma. Chavos here, it's a good question. You know, we're learning Chavos Lubavitch. He says, work on yourself. Now, maybe the way to work on yourself is... do it shalom lishma. You know, he doesn't tell us the secret of, on the other, you know, I don't know the answer. The answer is, if you do it sincerely for the right reason, and you're real, we've said this before, we've dealt with this question before, because Chavos Lubavitch seems to ignore that Chazal about doing it shalom lishma, shemitoch shalom lishma bo lishma. And I remember now saying, and I think it's true, and I'll say it again, that you have to ask yourself what your goal is. And if you know your goal is not the shalom lishma, is not the kavod, and not the... You know your goal is to cross that bridge. To use those actions as a bridge to get from shalom lishma lishma. You know that's your goal, so then you can do it. In other words, what Chazal are not waving a magic wand and saying, and this is maybe a chiddush, and if it is, so I'm saying a chiddush, it's not a magic wand, b'toch shelo lishma bo lishma. It has to be your goal and your motivation. Otherwise, you'll sink into the quagmire of doing things shelo lishma, and you will be violating the whole Shar Yichud HaMaisa. And how will you ever climb out of that? And I think the protection is to do it with that goal in mind. And yeah, I guess. And you know, you have to check yourself. You have to check yourself every few months or so to see if that's still your motivation. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here. So we were up to the Imlo. If you want to mark down, if anybody's following in the text, we're up to number five. Imlo Yimtza Yetzer Derech Chatos. Okay. Thank you. Very good.